Good morning, Emmanuel. The reading this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are like the light of the world, the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Simon. So if I could just invite Faith up. So this is Faith Nundy. Hello, Faith. Faith is going to be talking to us today about TLG. I'll just pray for you before you start, if that's okay. Father, we just ask that you would be with Faith as she brings us your word this morning. We thank you for her. We thank you for the preparation that's gone into this talk, and we pray that her words will be your words. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Oh, you're a responsive church. I like it. Thank you. Thanks for the warm welcome as well. Just a massive thank you for the invitation to come and share with you this morning. Thanks to Matt for having us, to Shane for everything that you've helped with, Justin for helping with the tech, Penny, everybody that I've met so far. Thank you so much for the warm welcome and for letting me join you today. I'll get the accent thing out of the way. You've probably gathered that I am not from here. I'm originally from Southern California, and then about 3 years ago, I moved to Leeds. Can you hear me? Is that where I'm standing? Is that the issue? Is that a little bit better? I moved to Leeds, UK, which everyone gets quite befuddled when they find I moved from sunny Southern California that's known for surfing and sunshine and really good Mexican food, and then I moved to Leeds, which is not known for any of those things, especially down south. People are like, why did you do that? Why did you move to Leeds? The main reason is that the Lord told me to. The Lord told me to. I don't know if any of you have encountered what it is like when the Lord asks you to be obedient to something, and it's a really confusing why. But shortly after I moved here, I got connected to the work of TLG, and it was like a light went off for me. It was so beautiful. I didn't realize there were so many people passionate about supporting the local church and helping them. So that's why I'm here. I'm here because I love seeing the church take part in the reconciliatory healing work of Christ. And your church has been doing that for the past 2 years. Your church has been meeting with people in schools, which I'll get to share a bit about. Before I get into that, though, I thought the best place to start is just to open us up in some scripture. So our plan for this morning is I'm going to share a little bit about the why of what we do it, and that starts with the nature and the character of God. Then I'll go into the what of what we do, and then I'll get into the how of what we do it. And just keep your ears open, keep your heart open to what the Lord might be wanting to share with you today, how he might be prompting you to get involved with the work that we're doing. So let's start in Genesis, where all good things start at the beginning. I'm going to be reading from Genesis 1. Genesis 1 is poetry. Genesis 2 is more of a narrative. So as we engage in the scripture, I encourage you to get your poetic hats on. It's meant to evoke feeling and pictures and emotion. That's what poetry does. So just position your heart in that space as we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. What's interesting is that God created this light before he created the sun, before he created the moon, before he created the stars. So when he's speaking of this light, he's referring to something else besides that physical light. He's referring to his presence. And I love that picture because the very first thing that God does when he creates a space for us to inhabit is he goes before us. He goes before us and he lights it up. And the only reaction of the darkness is to scatter. The only reaction of the darkness is to flee. We're already in February, if you can believe it. It's February 1st today. Be honest, who still has their Christmas decorations up? No one? Or no one's admitting it, one of the two. I've seen a couple around, but it just, I can't believe that it's February already. I think there's some people who still have their Christmas decorations up. If you stick around long enough, if you wait till June or July, you're just ahead of the curve at that point, and you're just ready for next year. But I was a bit of a Grinch this year when it came to Christmas decorations. I think it was December 27th, and I turned to my husband, and I was like, let's take this down. Let's clear it out. It was just cluttering the space, but I think I was really craving summer. I'm really craving that light, because coming here from Southern California and then moving to England, you guys, it's dark. It's dark in the winter, and it's cold. And I think it's just a really appropriate time of year to engage with what it is like to be in darkness. Do you remember what that's like as we're fading away from summer into fall, into winter, and the nights get longer and longer and longer and gets darker and darker and darker, and suddenly you find yourself really into crosswords and puzzles and knitting. You're just finding things to do with yourself. That physical darkness really limits us. Being in darkness limits what we can do. And so I just want to encourage you to engage remembering what it's like to be in physical darkness. I'm going to paint a picture for us of what the current climate is in the UK. And I'm aware as I'm sharing some of these statistics that I'm going to share that I'm speaking to a variety of contexts in the room. There may be some of you in this room that these numbers are really close to home and they are your day in and day out and they feel familiar. And I also recognize that these numbers may feel really foreign. It might be the first time that you're ever hearing about them. And wherever you're at, I just encourage you to engage with these. So currently, 4.3 million children in the UK are living in poverty. That's the equivalent of about 9 in a classroom of 30. Unfortunately, this figure is going up. A report has come out that this is now at 4.5 million. I just didn't have the citation for you today. But this number's climbing. 48% of parents are saying that they have skipped a meal to ensure that their children are fed. This is one of the ones that surprised me. That's a high percentage. 1 in 5 children and young people were identified as having a probable mental health problem. This issue is massive. It's not something that we can avoid or something that we can look away from. Just one more to share with you. In over a third of children, the onset of mental health disorders is taking place before the age of 14. So it's starting young, and it's really prevalent. It's at a stage now where you can't really interact with people in your day-to-day and not be met with people who this is affecting. And I'm sure you'll all agree with me that these stats are not okay. It's not okay. And thank God that we serve a God who those stats is not the end of the story. That's not where things end. That gives us an awareness of where things are, but not an awareness of where things are going to head. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus is talking about our response to this. It's what we read earlier. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I love this. I've always interpreted this part of the scripture in the same way, let your light shine before others. I always read it as, in the same way, make your light shine before others. But that's not what the word says. It says, let. Let your light shine before others. We have had encounters with the living God. We have been filled with his light and his life and his hope. And as a result, we get to let that be displayed into the world. And that's going to look different for everybody in this room. That's going to be unique to you, but it's unique to you on purpose. That's intentional. You've been filled with the light of God, and you can let it leak out into your communities. There's a story of a girl named Anne who was around for the blackout miner strikes in the 70s. And she speaks of her experience in those blackout strikes and that she would be craving this time of night where a couple of candles would be lit. They'd be like the old melted ones, and her family would just be sitting around a table together with just a couple candles lit. And it brought her incredible peace. And I find that to be so true. It doesn't need to be this bright, bold, flashing light. It just needs to be a candle. It just needs to be a flicker in the darkness. And what happens is the darkness scatters. The darkness goes. Sitting with people, sitting in community, with a little bit of light, makes a massive difference. I want to share with you a bit about the work that we do. We have two different programs that we work with. And as a result of seeing how God's light shines into the community, that's what we believe that we're called to do. That's how we love to operate. I'm going to show you a couple of the different ways that we are doing that. The first is through a program called Make Lunch. Make Lunch is all about community and belonging and providing meals that matter to family and children that we support. And I could tell you all about it, but I'm going to share with you the story of a boy named Joe. And he's going to do a much better job of explaining what that work is than I will. So if we could play that video of Joe, that'd be great.
When we go shopping, we can't have all the stuff that we want. So it makes my mum and dad, I'd feel very anxious.
I worried about how much, especially in the holidays, food costs. It's quite scary. I hope things are going to change. I don't think they can carry on going up like they are. It makes me feel really nervous, especially with the gas and electric going up again.
The gas prices are going higher and higher because nobody has it. Nobody has much gas anymore. So it's really hard to do stuff and get to places.
I think the children have massively struggled with the cost of living going up. And they obviously overhear conversations as much as you try not to let them. They do know what's happening.
It makes me worried. It's your mum and dad worried.
TLG Make Lunch seemed the best way to help in the community in a time that is really difficult for lots of people.
I feel very excited about coming to Make Lunch. I meet new families and have a nice lunch and dessert.
Make Lunch has lifted a massive burden. Like, we'll get little bits of food when we come each week. I love that there's a community here in a church that just give to people. They don't necessarily want a single thing back apart from you to smile. It's absolutely amazing.
Having the food here makes me feel less worried.
Coming to Make Lunch helps to show them more food as well, and different people cooking it differently and to mum and dad cook. So that's broadened him trying new foods, which is good for him.
Normally we have like sausages and mash or like pasta, mac and cheese.
Learning the recipes they do here, it gives you ideas for food. Maybe we were talking as well about showing how to cook, you know, doing more cooking with the children to show them stuff like that as families.
My favourite thing is coming to see the volunteers. Some of them like playing football and stuff, so I play football with them. Or we can just run about playing with games. And they're really nice people.
We see loads of volunteers in the community while we're walking, and they're like, oh, look, there's so-and-so, and they can't wait to go up to them and give them a hug and chat to them, and it's just lovely to see. And my youngest was born in COVID, so he's really struggled with meeting new people, so it really helps him to get to know people, and he's starting to come out of his shell now.
I feel happier now that I come to Make Lunch. My mum and dad don't have to worry about looking after us, what we're gonna do. They don't lose you on after us. They do feel less worried now.
They make you feel better in the person, really. I feel happier when I've been on a Tuesday, and I do think that it helps the stress in the world having a place like this to come to.
It's just a joyful experience, really. Thank you, TLG Make Lunch.
Now you can see why I had Joe tell the story instead of me. Joe's much cuter. I love that. I love what Make Lunch does. It's not just about the practical support and the food. It's about the community and belonging that comes with being invested in and cared about. I had the pleasure of visiting a Make Lunch club probably about 6 months to a year ago now. And as I arrived, I was very warmly welcomed, and I realized it was one of the families that had been going to the Make Lunch club for the past couple years. They all of a sudden started just serving alongside and were welcoming in new families. And I was just so touched by the way it integrates people into a community. Now, the program that your church has been involved with for the past 2 years has been supporting children in schools through a program called Early Intervention. Early intervention is designed to be prevention over cure. So we noticed that there was this effect of students who had been excluded from school, we were getting to them later than we wanted to. And there's a quote that says, at some point you need to stop pulling people out of the river and you need to swim upstream and find out why they're falling in. And that's all about what early intervention does. So be that with children struggling with friendships, bereavements, isolation, anxiety, we have a coach paired with a child for 1 hour a week, and they have one-to-one connections for an entire school year. Can you imagine the effect that that might have had on you as a kid? If you had one trusted, safe adult who was going to consistently, reliably show up for you week in, week out, not to lecture you, not to give you advice, but to sit with you and help you learn emotional resilience. What your church is doing is amazing. It's amazing. So thank you to Penny, Shane, a couple of the other volunteers that I've gotten to meet today. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And I'm going to show you a video about what early intervention does, and I'm going to invite up one of your coaches to talk a little bit more about what that's looked like in your context. So we have Karis here, and Karis is going to share her story with us.
At school, I just felt alone and I had no friends. Before TLG, I tried different ways to make friends. For example, if somebody told me to do the wrong thing, I did it because I thought if I did it, they would like me. I was vulnerable at that time. I felt like I was in darkness.
Karis is a whirlwind of fun. We would always say about Karis that she had leadership qualities beyond her years, but she would find it very difficult to regulate her emotions, and she found friendships quite difficult to navigate.
I was sent to the head teacher's office multiple times, and I wasn't really proud of that.
When I met Karis, she was quite sad and lonely because she didn't have any friends. When the other children had their birthday parties and things, she wasn't invited.
When I started coaching with Faye, I got overwhelmed with joy, and I told her everything that happened, and she used to start giving me words of advice that would help me. Faye was there for me. Talking to her made me reflect on my character. It taught me how to regulate myself around people. Because of that, I learned how to make friends and how to keep them and how to make sure our friendship is secure. I started getting invited to parties, and it really made me happy because now I knew that our friendship was strong. Every session I did with Faye, it had a meaning to me. I felt like so, and I was pinching every negative emotion down. And for cooking, I felt like I was just spreading my joy.
Do you remember when we were making the cookies? We were
so busy
talking, so we had to roll all the pastry up together. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I sprinkled sugar all over the pastry and we rolled it again. But it tasted all right.
It was delicious.
After a year of coaching, life for Karis in school, from my point of view, looks far calmer. She's really grown as a child, and those leadership potential characteristics we've seen in her for years and years and years seem to have really come to fruition in a lot of ways.
Miss Daryl was getting tired of seeing me. Now that I know how to say no, I told her I'm not going to come to your office anymore, and she said we'll see about that. And then months after, she said you really kept your promise, didn't you? She was so proud of me.
The funding for something like TLG early intervention is not something that we could afford. The money that's given to allow that to happen is having a huge impact on the children. They're happier, they feel seen and heard. TLG early intervention is having a huge impact, not only on schools, but therefore on the local community.
Now I feel positive about my future. TLG coaches has taught me that I can do anything in life if I put my mind to it. You changed my life.
I've loved working with you, know that. And I'm looking forward to hearing how the future goes.
Thank you, TLG.
Early intervention has been running for 14 years. And I met a woman 2 weeks ago who was at a Sunday service. Her church was throwing some event. And she bumped into her coach's child that she had coached 10 years prior. They hadn't stayed in touch in that time afterwards, but that coach's child went up to her and it was expressing the difference that it made in her life. And we have the power of testimony to see the impact that it makes on these children, but we also have the power of statistics to share the impact that it makes as well. And we're seeing that 92% of parents and carers are saying that they notice a difference in a child's behavior both at home and at school. 91% of school teachers are saying that they notice a difference. 82% of children who have an early intervention coach say that they feel more positive than when their coaching began. And the goal here is to plant seeds. To plant seeds, help children develop that emotional resilience. Karis talking about making her friendships secure. Incredible skills that are going to set her off on a lifetime of success. I'm going to invite Shane up to share a little bit more about early intervention coaching, what it's looked like in your context. Let's give him a warm welcome as he joins me.
Shane. They don't usually clap.
Amazing. Thanks, Shane. Could you tell us a bit about what motivated you to become an early intervention coach?
Yeah, well, I quite like children, you know, and I went to school with some. And it was a couple of years back. Jackie and I went to New Wine. Do you know New Wine? Yeah. So it was the one where it was in Kent for 1 year. Bit of an odd year, but and it rained a lot. We got to the very first day we got there. We were a bit early, and so we were outside the Big Top, but we had half an hour to spare. And there was a little tent there. Like TLG was the chosen charity of New Wine that year, and we went in that tent, and I heard the sort of stuff that you've just seen, and I knew then that I would have to do this. So you know when you said God told me, that I knew it, and but I didn't know how that would work out. So then, but there were lots of people from here were at that New Wine, and when we came back as a church, we decided we would do it.
And then, can you tell us a little bit more about your day in and day out when it comes to coaching? What does like a typical week look like? What are the commitments?
Okay, well, I go on a Monday, so I don't prepare in any way whatsoever, which is great. I spend most of my working life in schools, so for me, it's a joy because you know, to work one to one is golden, and I don't even have to do proper lessons. We mess about, we have fun. So last year I had a guy called Jack, and this year I've got a guy called Isaac, and they both fit the same kind of profile, slightly cheeky fun boys who find it hard really to be in the classroom. You know, school's not really for them, I guess they give that kind of ones to me, because the other coaches that go in are females, and they get the girls, who are slightly different. So the girls, I know, pour out their hearts, and like the girl in the video. The boys are more like, you know, I say, are you all right? Yeah, all right. So it's more of a kind of ongoing process, really. I take a box of tricks with me every week. So I've got the dobble, the boggle, anything else that rhymes with that. We play the same games. There's a range of about 10 games I've got, and we play a selection of them every week. Because they're competitive and they want to win. And somehow or other, they always seem to win every week. I don't know how that keeps happening. And then we often, they want to go outside in the last 5-10 minutes. I teach them how to bowl in cricket. I teach them how to skip properly, like a boxer, and things like that. So
Last week we did a special clay project together, me and Isaac. I've not done cooking yet, so I'm sitting there feeling a bit, oh dear, I must be really bad. I think I'm not an ideal person to do it because I'm a teacher. It's not ideal. Like, the people who do it in our church are mostly teachers. And the people who are not teachers thinking, well, that's for teachers. It's not. Like, it's harder for being a teacher. Like, I have to stop from telling him what to do. If you just love children and you've got an hour to spare in the week, do it. It's great.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I would say when I'm visiting different churches, that's one of the number one things I hear from coaches is saying, I'm not the ideal person to do this. So don't let that thought stop you, just like Shane was sharing, because I think people have that belief about themselves, but what we've seen time and time again is that you might be the right person for that child. Not for the thing, but for the child. And then could you just share with us maybe a short anecdote, some memory that you have from one of your coaching sessions?
Yeah, they tell you lots of stuff about their lives and their families, so but you don't divulge that. But I remember I was really touched just recently. That, so I'd done a whole term with Isaac, my guy this year, and I had explained to him, that I would be back every week and we'd be doing a variety of things, and we were getting him ready for secondary school, and talked about why he sometimes got into trouble and all those different things. But when I came back the first week back after Christmas, the first week of January, he was like, his eyes lit up like, oh, are we still doing it? And he thought that I wasn't coming back. And that really touched me, that you build up this bond of trust, really.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing. Really appreciate it. Oh. I love it. Your church is doing an incredible thing. Your church is doing some powerful stuff. We would love for you guys to get involved. I'm going to outline a couple different ways that you can do it. But I just want to encourage you with a quote from the Salvation Army, founder of the Salvation Army, not the whole Salvation Army. William Booth once says this. He says, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. He's given you what you need. He's given you what you have for a reason. So as we engage, how might he be wanting you to get involved? On your chair or around you or maybe on the floor or if you have kids, definitely some doodles on it. There's a leaflet if you wanted to grab one of those, and it outlines a couple different ways. And I'll talk you through those. If you don't feel prompted, let this go right over your head. That's totally okay. But if you do feel like you're wanting to explore a bit more, now's a good time to pull that out. I get asked every time, so I'll say it, this is not a picture of my face. This is not me. I get asked almost every talk that I do, so it resembles me at least a little bit. On the inside of this leaflet, there's two different sections. There's one section here that shows different ways that you can get involved, those three tick boxes up at the top. If you're wanting to just stay in touch with the work of TLG, go ahead and fill in your contact details. Don't worry about ticking a box. Fill in your contact details and then tick boxes letting us know how you would like us to keep in touch with you. We won't send you anything without your permission, but if you're wanting more stories like Joe and Karis, we'd be happy to keep you involved and send those to you. Now, for those of you who are wanting to explore coaching, there's a box on here that you can tick for that as well, saying my church runs early intervention and I'd love to explore becoming a coach. That's just an initial conversation at this point. Don't feel like we're sending you into schools next week. So if you want to tick that box, fill in those contact details so we can get in touch with you. It'd make a massive difference. We'll get you connected with Penny. Penny's also here today to chat through any questions that you might have. Her and I will both be around after the service at the back. There's prospectuses for you to have that share a little bit more about what being a coach entails. So it's just to get those conversations going. If you feel some prompting, something that you want to explore, make sure that we get your details so we can get you in touch. I'd also want to ask if you'd consider becoming a Hope Giver today. So Hope Givers are those supporters who give to us regularly each month. We could not do what we do without the generous support of our Hope Givers. And I'm aware some of you in this room might be Hope Givers from New Wine, and let me just extend a massive thank you to you. genuinely, you have no idea the difference it makes. Lots of people making whatever contribution that they can. It's like an army of people propelling this. So thank you so much. If you feel like you're in a position to financially give, we'd love your support. There's a box that you can tick. We do need your contact details. If you could fill in all your contact details and let us know. Once again, tick how you'd like us to be in touch with you. And then on the right-hand side, there's the details of financial stuff, all that kind of detail, bank details, amount to give, and things like that. If you fill out a form in any of those forms, staying in touch with us or wanting to become a coach or wanting to become a hope giver, bring it to me at the end. I'd love to give you a free copy of our book, Out of the Ordinary. It's written by Tim Morfin. He's our founder and CEO, and it's all about the TLG story. And this is like a book of miracle after miracle after miracle happening and seeing God's fingerprints on the work of TLG. So it's a really encouraging short read for the next time you're on a train. just to draw to a close, want to give a massive thank you for the people who have been going into schools. I thought it would be a good time for us to just pray over them as well as a congregation, for us to bless them, pray over the children. If you're thinking about exploring coaching, the children that could be paired with you. So if I could just have you bow your heads with me and we call upon God. Holy Spirit, Lord, I thank you for the work of your hands. I thank you, Lord, that you care so deeply about the one, that you care deeply about children. And God, I thank you that you have the ability to stir things up within us to step into action. But Lord, I pray that any action comes from a place of awareness of your goodness, awareness of your generosity, awareness of your compassion. Lord, we lift up that team of four people who are in schools. May you just cover them and bless them. We pray for each individual child that they support. Lord, may they know who you are by interactions with these coaches. May they see your faithfulness by the reliability of someone showing up day in and day out. May they see your gentleness with the way they're met with gentleness. May they see your love and compassion. Lord, I pray that in those spaces, let it be a time of fun and laughter and joy, but let them get a taste of you. We just pray for strengthening as well on the weeks that might be hard. We pray for a covering over them. In your holy and precious name, amen. 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 Thank you so much for, bless you. Thank you so much for letting me join you this morning. I really appreciate being able to share some of these testimonies, some of these stories. Don't be shy. I am American and I'm extroverted, so come and chat with me at the end. It's going to be great to get to know you guys a little bit more. Am I passing it back off to you, Justin? Amazing. Thank you guys so much.